Welcome to the E-Commerce Society podcast, where you can learn how to start, grow, scale, or launch your dream e-commerce and product-based business, all without ever relying on ads or social media. Each week, you will hear step-by-step, tangible, and fluff-free strategies to help you skyrocket your sales and traffic, gain more visibility for your business, and create those mega loyal customer super fans, which you totally need. Hi, I'm Carrie Fitzgerald, your cheerleader and hype girl. I went from corporate marketing in the education space to building, scaling, and selling my own product-based business. And today, my work and mission is to help founders just like you create and scale the world's most magnetic brands and turn them into fucking empires. So whether you're thinking of starting a product biz or scaling yours, this podcast is the secret sauce to making all those dreams come true. So grab a coffee or grab a champagne and let's dive into it. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah. So nice to see you again.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thanks for having me. I was saying it's been a little while, but time flies. We're having fun.
I know. I can't believe it's already mid-December. It's kind of early December. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So before we dive into all things Shopify websites and website design and all that stuff, do you want to just introduce yourself and tell everyone a little bit about how you help people?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh. So thanks again for having me here. Hi, everyone. I'm Sarah Jansel, and I own a company called Jansel & Co. And it's myself and a small boutique team. And what we do is we build, brand, and grow awesome websites, primarily on Shopify, but also we have recently taken on Subly for subscription boxes and also on Kajabi. But the bulk of our, like our lion's share of our clients are all on Shopify. So I started my venture, I would say, quite a few years ago now, almost like 6 years ago, 5 years ago, with Shopify specifically. I had worked 20 years in a corporate job and, you know, very much worked in business, human resources, operations. So very different than what I was doing, but I was always interested in being an entrepreneur. And so when the opportunity came forward for me to start my own business, I thought, okay, well, I'll kind of run a side hustle and launched a fashion boutique. And that was on Shopify and did that until 2020. When it started to kind of grow and scale a bit. And I was thinking about scaling that even further. And we all know what kind of happened in March of 2020 when I was supposed to work with my coach and do a first in-person session. So it got put off for a few months. And by the time I actually started talking with her, that conversation transitioned from not only scaling the fashion business, but also helping some of her clients because I had a skill on Shopify and understanding how to run business and coaching and things like that. And so took a few clients on and realized I had a pretty big decision to make and ended up quitting my VP job about 2 months later. So it was pretty quick and sort of thought I was going to seize a market opportunity because I thought I know myself well and it's now or never. You know, I've kind of done the side hustle thing, you know, I've got my feet wet and all of that and decided to hand in my resignation. Left and jumped into really it was myself at the time an admin. And now, you know, I've got a full suite of teams that can help with branding, UX design, like all of the things. So yeah, it's been a really fun ride, but that's kind of the short version of how we got here.
It's always hard to summarize, like, let me just summarize like 10 years of experience in 60 seconds.
Totally.
I would love to hear a little bit more about your boutique that you had. I know that I was on your podcast a few months ago and, you know, I looked at your website. So I do know a little bit about your business, but I'd love for you to share just a little bit about what that business was and what made you start that business too?
Yeah. Okay. So I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I just never knew what that looked like. And over the years, I would toss around all kinds of ideas, you know, over a glass of wine with a friend on a vacation with my husband. And, you know, a lot of them centered around fashion because it was really kind of a passion of mine and different fun things that I could do that were totally outside of the space of what I was doing sort of day to day. But if you're like me and you've had dreams over the years, you might also very quickly talk yourself out of those. And so it was really easy the next day to just kind of be like, oh, that's silly. You know, am I really going to do that? And, you know, not really invested in it as much. And so when I got my VP role, I sort of felt like I'd been climbing the ladder, you know, for 20 years. And, you know, I had kind of hit this milestone marker that I was looking for and things were great. But I was like, you know, I still have this feeling. And I'm like, if I don't actually do this, I feel like I don't want to be one of those people that looks back and says like, man, I wish I tried that or wish I did something. So on a vacation with my husband, same kind of thing where all the creative ideas pop in because, you know, your brain's resting. I literally drew a line in the sand, no pun intended, and said to my husband, when we get home, I'm just going to start something. And I know I want it to be an online business and I can envision it being fashion and a website and all the things. So when I got home, I registered a business number. And what that translated into a few months later is a business called Sadie and Sari. And it was bringing the California vibes to Canada because my goodness, do we ever need those? So it was a full out apparel line that I had, a fashion boutique. And yeah, it was really, really fun. You know, we had kind of reached Canada, the US, Australia, and all the things. And I ran that actually until early 2022 when this business was taking off much more and it was taking more of my attention. And I realized this fashion thing was really fun, but it was kind of like the gateway drug, if you will, into the thing that I really wanted to do because I felt like it lit me up a lot more. So I figured I would actually unwind that and I sold part of that business. So, but it was really fun. The Instagram is still there if anyone wants to check it out, but the website is now, you know, gone. But yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I love that. And I like how you said, like, I always talk about businesses as like stepping stones. Whatever you're doing today doesn't mean you have to be doing this in 5 years. If you have a product-based business and it's not lighting you up or you're not liking it or whatever reason, you know, it doesn't have to be a failure or anything like that. It can just be, okay, this led me to the next thing. And that's what I think about my first product-based business too. Which I had until 2019. I loved it. It was like a baby, but at some point I was like, okay, I'm ready to like move on to the next thing. And then with my current business, this is now this has inspired me to like, I'm now about to dive into like a tech SaaS company that I'm starting and I'm still keeping my business, but like it's stepping stones until the next cool thing that you're going to do. So I love that. And I always think it's important because a lot of people that have product-based businesses, they may not be loving what they're doing right now. And they might feel like, well, what other options do I have? But I do think it can inspire you to like you realize you love, you know, web design or designing websites or UX or things like that. So you're like, okay, well, this is lighting me up more than the fashion business, but I learned a lot. I took a lot of cool things from it. So I love that. I think that's important.
Yeah. And it, you know, it was almost like the testing ground, right? Like, you know, I got to actually try a whole bunch of things. And I think it gives you some street cred in you too, right? Where it's like, well, you've been there and like, you totally get, you know, kind of the ins and outs and things. But I totally agree with you. I'm like, my new motto is never say never. Because you know, I think about life when I look back, oh, I'd never do that. Or I could never do this. And I'm like, never say never.
never say never. No, absolutely. So talk about, like, I know that, you know, when I was on your podcast, we talked about, you know, websites and brands that we really liked, but tell everyone listening just a little bit about like what makes your process different or unique versus, I don't know, like anyone else who does Shopify stores. Like, how do you feel like you, like, what's your secret sauce maybe?
Yeah. I feel like we spend, I hear you. I feel like we spend a lot of time really trying to understand the customer. And I think that's the key thing. Like, we don't take anything they say kind of at face value, if you will. And what I mean by that is I'm always really intrigued by people that come to me and they say like, oh, I'm going to start this business and, you know, and whatever it is, it's a phone case business or you know, whatever it is. And I'm like, so how did you get into that? You know what I mean? And so there's always a story I find behind it. And I don't know if you find this with your clients. It's like, a lot of the gold comes from like, oh, okay. So like, how did that happen? But then like, how did this happen? But then like, why did you really want to do the phone case? I mean, I'm making it up, but we don't have any phone case clients, but you know, we do have clients in all the kinds of different industries, farms, fitness, fashion, furniture, you name it. And there's always a cool story about like why. And I would say like 99% of the time, not all the time, but 99% of the time, the clients are typically like a version of their ideal client, or like this has impacted their life in some way, in some fashion. And there's like the gold in that, I feel like, where we try to get to the bottom of that and really understand where the client's coming from. Cause a lot of times they just come to you with like, here's the product, here's how I want to position that, here's how we want to do this. And yes, those things are very necessary. Your branding, your copy, all the things, but there's like a personality behind that. And we're thinking about how do we weave that in and help tell the story? Because I find founders specifically, we're always way too close to our product, way too close to it. Mm-hmm. We don't think our story is interesting. You know, like there's like all these things where I think we devalue it, but when somebody else hears it, they find it really intriguing. And so I feel like we try to pull a lot of that into our process. So it's like, you know, we have kind of our initial intake meeting with the client. We'll spend a lot of time on that. We'll go deep. It doesn't actually take a lot of time for us to get there. You know, we design, then we come back, we kind of have more conversation about it. And then we kind of finish up design and get them ready to launch. And that process is roughly like 6 to 8 weeks, depending on the client and how bespoke the website is. But, you know, I think at the end of the day for us, it's just really about getting that understanding, because we're trying to guide them not only on the website, but also the things that are going to go into the marketing around the website, right? So like everything we say here should be consistent with what's being said in email marketing, should be consistent with what's being said on socials, should be consistent with what's in your brand guideline and like all the other things they're trying to do. And I don't think a lot of people think about that up front. They're like, the website's just one piece. And it's like, no, it's much bigger than that. And so we try to think about it in much broader terms, because if we're not in line with some of these other things, we don't want to see our client miss the boat on that.
Yeah. No, I love that so much. And what do you think are, I'm sure people come to you, you know, with all sorts of, you know, website statuses. And what do you feel like the biggest mistakes that you see people making on their, in particular, let's Shopify stores. What kind of mistakes do people are making? And then they come to you and they're like, Sarah, I need a new website, help me. What do you see? Like, what are some of the things that you see that, you know, people are making mistakes? I mean,
yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, and it obviously is advantageous for me to say this, but to say to DIY it. And by the way, I DIY'd my Sadie and Sari website to start. And that was actually the start of learning how to do that. But when I look back at that like first iteration, I actually cringe because it's like I had no idea what I was doing at all. And so I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing something yourself. There's nothing wrong with taking that on. But I feel like a lot of times business owners are really good at the thing that they do. They don't necessarily appreciate or understand what the end user needs to see or what they need to hear, or, you know, like what flow through process needs to happen to get them from point A to point B, which is the cart and checkout. And so, you know, website might look pretty, you know, or there might be things going on, but it often feels very disconnected. So a lot of the times what we hear is, I try to give it a go myself, I don't love it, you know, or I'm not seeing the sales that I want, or things like that. And that can be both web and marketing related. They usually go hand in hand. But I would say that's the biggest thing that I see is people come to us and they're like, I'm frustrated because I'm not getting results, or I'm frustrated because I tried to do this, but I have all these other things that I need to be doing in my business too. And I'm like, this is exactly why, when it comes to your website, I believe you should outsource it, because, you know, at the end of the day, you want somebody who's going to know what to look for. And you also have to remember, I'm like, that is probably one of the bigger investments and in things that you're going to do by way of it being the storefront, the thing that people see, where they land, how they interact, how they learn about you, where they purchase. Like, it's kind of the be all end all of like, we want to do all these activities to warm them up and get them here to like transact and interact with us. So yeah. I feel like there should be some more emphasis put on that, and not just thinking about it as, well, I just need a place for people to buy that. It's like, yeah, but you want to create an experience.
Yes. So. And I also want to say, you know, you were talking about your first website and how it's like cringy. I mean, if your first website or your first, you know, Instagram post or whatever is not cringy, then, I mean, you're probably too much of a perfectionist.
Yeah, totally.
I know my stuff with my product-based business, it was, I mean, it's scary, absolutely scary to look back. Even my current business, when I look back at some of the early stuff that I posted, I'm like, ew, why?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just want to say that. But yes, I totally agree with you in terms of, you know, your website. I always say your website is the bread and butter of, if you have a product-based business, your website is the bread and butter. It is where people go to buy. And if it doesn't look good, then you're giving people a really, really, really poor first impression. And I know for me as a consumer, given like I am a little bit snobby with websites and I am picky, and like part of it is because now I've been in this space for 7+ years. And before that I was in like corporate marketing and I did websites and email and all that kind of stuff. So I've been in this space for a long time. And I just feel like if your website looks really crappy, why on earth should you expect a customer to buy from you? Like, period. Yeah. I feel so strongly about this. If I go to a website and it doesn't look good, it looks sloppy, it looks crappy, it looks messy, I will not buy from them. And do you want to know why? And it's literally because in my head, I'm like, okay, all these other brands are investing in people like Sarah, investing in people like you, spending money to get a website that looks good, that looks professional, that's converting into sales. And then here's like Susan over here with her shitty free Shopify theme or, you know, GoDaddy theme or whatever. And like, it's like pieced together, no good product images, no lifestyle images. It just looks crappy. Like, why on earth should I buy from you? So I actually won't buy from a website that looks like that, because I like to like almost reward the shops that put in the effort. I don't know if you are as snobby as I am in that front, possibly because you actually do website design for people, but don't you feel like you are more likely to buy from a store that actually has a good website, you know, partially because like they've earned it. They've put in the time, they're putting in the effort. Again, I might seem a little bit harsh by saying that, but that's how I am. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. I always take it as an invitation to reach out to them and let them know that I can help. It's usually I do. You know, Yeah. Always. And I'm like, I don't, you know, whatever, it's cold reach out, but like, why not? Right. And I've had people contact me back, some like right away, some like 6 months later, you know, they're like, well, you know, you reached out to me and I wasn't ready then, but like, yeah, I think I need your help kind of thing. They start following you. Yeah.
Like,
the whole thing. Yeah. There's a luxury jewelry brand that this happened to me with the other day. And one of my clients, who we up leveled her website, cause she's like a New York luxury brand. And I was like, when I met her, I was like, oh my God, girl, you got to invest in this, because like, A, her product is like amazing. Her photos were amazing, but it was DIY, right? So we up-leveled her. And then part of her launch, she was sharing this amazing jewelry that she wears. And it like immediately caught my eye, because like, I love this fashion. Like, we have kind of a similar style. And so it's kind of like gold jewelry. Again, it's kind of boho, but it's like, you know, like $300 a piece, $500 a piece kind of thing. So it's like, I'm like, I can't wait to go to their website, right? Yeah. I'm thinking like, gosh, and like the Instagram's very curated. And I get there and I couldn't find anything. Like it literally just still said catalog, which is like the, you know, and the like not even the right spelling, just the like default in Shopify kind of thing. And so I spent a couple of minutes trying to go around, and I thought, how in God's name would you ever buy anything here? And I'm like, it's gotta be the Instagram shop. It's got to be, because you can shop there. Yeah. So I reached out to that person and was like, hey, like, just so you know, this person shared your stuff. They're a client of mine. Take a look at their website, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. So she kind of liked the message, but I'm like, I need to follow up, because when I see things like that, I'm same as you. I'm like, I can't even shop this.
I feel like it like hurts my heart literally when I
don't make me work for it. Yeah.
Like, especially for a brand that has obviously put a lot of money into
a lot
product photography. And if you're selling expensive jewelry, then, you know, you have to have a good website. That is non-negotiable. If you're a luxury or high end or any kind of like a luxe product, your website needs to be fucking spotless, like perfection. Yeah. Perfect scroll stopping, like
totally. Yeah. It's like amazing to me. And I think, you know, like even just the brand awareness piece around that. And, you know, I always say like a confused eye does not buy ever. And that's how I feel. Like, I got in there and I was so confused that I was like, enough of this. I just need to reach out to you. You need my help.
I love that. And you know what? You want to know something funny? This has nothing to do with websites, but I bought my husband something for Christmas, and he's like, I hope he's not listening.
Yeah.
really beautiful. I would say luxury travel wear brand out of Nantucket. Mm. And it's like the cutest brand name, the cutest website, the cutest everything, cutest Instagram. And then I went to order from them and I forget what happened. Something happened in the website and I'm like, oh, that was a little funny. But then when I got the product in the mail, there's like no insert, no nothing, no branding. And I literally made a note on my phone to reach out to them and just, oh, I know what it was. On the website, there was no, they just put a announcement message at the top that said, use code welcome 20 and get 20% off. And I was like, oh, you need to be making people opt in.
Heck,
get people's email addresses. So I wrote in my phone a note to follow up. But then when I got the product in the mail and there's no insert, the packaging was ugly. I'm like, okay, I'm going to reach out. So
they need your help.
I was like, I need to actually reach out and give this person very unsolicited feedback because their brand is amazing. Like,
yeah,
absolutely amazing. I'll share with you later who it is. I think you'll like them too, but, yeah, I think, and like, for me, it's coming from a place of like, your brand is awesome. And I want to actually genuinely help you. I'm not trying to like,
yes,
get any business from it. If that happens, that's great. But like, I do think when we like a brand and we know better, we feel a place of like, we just want to help other people. And if
totally
business comes from that, awesome. Like, that's a great thing. But yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah.
That
you can't unsee it. Once you know, you can't unsee it.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love that so much. Okay. And then when people come to you to do websites, what are you doing? Like the entire website from like A to Z? Are you doing like the back end of Shopify stores? Are you like, what are some of the options that you offer people?
Yeah, we kind of do. Okay. So we do a lot of things. And the reason for that is I felt like initially when I started doing it solo, I was like, people would always ask, well, what about photos? Well, what about branding? Well, what about this? And it was like, I was trying to build this community of people. And then I was like, wait a minute, why am I not just finding somebody amazing? And we're doing this. So we do a lot of different things. So we have a branding specialist on the team who can help with logo, brand design, custom graphic design, like anything that you're missing. Maybe you got a logo, but you thought that was a brand. So you're like, you need fonts and colors. Like, we do all of the above. But you know, we do a brand identity package for sure for people who are like net new. We also do a lot. Our bread and butter is new store builds or redesigns. Redesigns actually being quite popular, especially through 2020, 2021, 2022, when people just quickly got things up and they're like, okay, like I've outgrown this now. You know, a lot happens. So we do a lot of that. We do a lot of custom work. So when we build a store, we do the full back end, front end. So it's everything. And then we'll train our clients on how to obviously manage the store going forward. We do email marketing setup. So like the automations people need, Klaviyo, OmniSend, all the things. And then obviously if they need bespoke code or like totally custom stores, we have a client we're doing like start to finish totally custom. We could do as little as like template to custom with Dave because he does a lot of the custom stuff. And then we have a couple of guys on the team who can help with the SEO, the ads, and anything that happens with the marketing after. So when we say build, brand, and grow, we're really focused on like, how do we just help you, whether you're at the stage of like building the brand, getting the machine organized and set up, you know, you're ready to launch it, or you're wanting to invest in more of the marketing pieces, we can help with all of those things.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. And like, I know that for me, like, you know, I have various programs and things like that, but it's like people oftentimes think they might just need, oh, I need a website refresh or design. But then when you actually come down to it, they don't have any lifestyle photos and their branding is horrible. No offense, people. Again, I've been through the whole like Canva DIY, you know, color palette and all that. But sometimes we do need a little bit of help from someone who knows better to choose the right colors, to choose the right logo and all that kind of stuff. So I do think a good website, at least when I'm doing websites for people, it's not just sitting there doing a website. It's like, we need good product photography. We need lifestyle photos. We need the branding. The visual branding has to also be there. And if one piece is missing, the website may not look as good and it may not convert in the end. Because in the end, your website, it's not just about looking pretty, like you mentioned before, it has to convert into sales. It has to grab someone's attention. And, you know, we've talked about this when I was on your podcast, you know, Mattel paddle boards is like my favorite. I'm obsessed with them. And when I go to their website, I literally am like, take my money. You're amazing. Your website is beautiful. Your stuff is made for someone like me. And that's what your website should do for a customer. And if it's not, it could be that you're missing like the visual branding or the photos or things like that. So anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. So you do like full on packages for people. Share like what's the process? So if someone's listening and they're like, oh my gosh, Sarah, I need you. Who is your typical, like, who's your ideal client, like, or ideal customer that might want to do a website redesign with you?
Yeah. I mean, we, like I said, we haven't niched down in terms of like the genre, which has been kind of cool because when I said like farms to fitness to food to fashion, like literally all the F's, all the things. So that's kind of cool. But what is common is we work with a lot of startup and small to medium sized business. So that's our typical client. We have a couple of kind of larger enterprise clients, but that's not the norm for us. We love to work with clients who are in the space of either starting out or they're in that growth phase where they have started and they're like, I know that I can just make this look so much better. I want to up level this, like, you know, kind of get serious and things like that. So yeah, I feel like that's it. 99% of our clients are female, but we are not just working with females. We do have males. I clearly am attracting that. So we work with a lot of women as well, which is kind of cool to think that there are that many women business owners that are out there looking to run product businesses. So I'm always impressed by that. And the process for us is really just reach out. You know what I mean? If you're at that stage where you're like, I really want to work with you, you know, let us know. We'll talk you through kind of whatever your unique circumstances are. For us, our process is pretty similar for most clients. Like I said, there's kind of an intake call that we do to really get to know that client, get all the details we need on design. And then, you know, it's probably a 4 to 6 week process unless it's custom. And then you're probably looking at, you know, 8 weeks to 3 months, depending on how custom you're looking for all the bells and whistles on. But yeah, that's kind of how we work. Pretty simple.
I love that. Tell everyone where they can find you, where they can learn more about your services. I know you do more than, you know, websites. You do like the full thing for e-commerce stores, which is amazing because I think we all need a little bit of help. And, you know, like we can DIY, but sometimes we just need to go to a professional who can do it right and take it off our hands. So where can people find you and where can they connect with you if they have any questions?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're just at the stages where you're learning, for sure, check out my podcast, which is the I Created That podcast, because I'm talking about all the things, all product and Shopify stores all the time. Or you can catch me at jancelandco.com. That's my website. We got a ton of info there about services and you can one click a button and catch me. It's me who gets those emails that comes from those. Or give me a follow on Instagram at Sarah Jancel or at jancelandco.com.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Sarah. So good to see you. And thank you for sharing great website tips and ways to work with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me today. If you love this episode, please go ahead and leave a review on Apple Podcasts and then take a screenshot and share it on your Instagram stories. Tag me in it at Carrie A. Fitzgerald. My name is in the show notes. Thank you so much. And I'll see you guys next week.